Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
We're going to dive in here this morning and want to talk to us about our faith lives. And as we talk about our faith lives, I want us to come to a place where our faith kind of comes to another level than reason or wisdom. It moves past our own understanding into a different stratosphere of operating in things that I may not know, but I sure do believe. This subject is a little bit tricky to handle because we in the Western world really like to have things figured out. We want all the research. We really want proof. We really want to make sure that it's the right and the steady way. And yet, the whole thing of Christianity is a faith relationship with a God that we cannot see, believing in a Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago and some things that he did, and yet it still applies today. And for us to access all of that stuff through a faith that believes that we can. And I want to encourage us as a church family that we would have radical faith, big faith that connects to a big God with big vision for our life. Sometimes the reality of the hardships of what we go through in life are so heavy that we can't even see past them to see a God on the other side that maybe is working all things together for the good of those that are called according to Christ Jesus. And so, as we talk about our faith lives this morning, I believe that everything that we are going through in life, Megan, are you and Alyssa matching this morning? I just noticed that. Twinning. Everything that we go to life, all right, squirrel, I'm back, is directly connected to the level of faith that we have in the Lord. And it might not have been the lack of faith that got you into a situation, but I believe it's the strength of your faith that can get you out of it. And so as we go into this morning, I want to really kind of charge our faith to go to another level in the Lord and not only live by principles and practicals only, I'm not saying that we throw those out, but only by those. And if it doesn't fit within this framework of is it practical and does it make sense and do I have research on it and is it wise, we go to a place of faith believing, God, you're the provider, you're my healer, you're the sustainer. God, you have called me to something that's way beyond me, but the answer is yes. And we go with a huge response of courage that hits our spirit when there is an atmosphere, an inner atmosphere of faith that happens. That becomes a really good life. Because no longer is it, do I just do what I know to do? It's now I'm doing things that I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm just obeying the Lord. And then life gets really, really fun in those places. I believe that we're free because of our faith, or we can be locked up because of our lack of it. And I believe that Jesus wants to encourage some faith here this morning where maybe it is waning. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for. It's the assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. It goes on to verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you want to be a God pleaser, then you are a person who lives your life in radical faith for God. The Bible would say anything that's done outside of faith is sin. It doesn't bring pleasure to the heart of God. It actually is the exact, you're operating in the opposite spirit of who God is. What are the situations that you're going through right now that we're worried and we're fretting and we're anxious about? And God says, that's sin. You're not acting like me, and you need to put your faith in a much higher power than just whatever resource you have. I'm the biggest resource on the planet, and I need you to start believing in me and believing that I can break through, believing that I can save your son or your daughter's heart, believing that I can do a shift in your job, believing that I can whatever, save something in your marriage, believing that I am your provider, right? And all of a sudden, our eyes get fixed on a different place. And he's like, this is the heart that makes me happy. This is the thing that gives pleasure to my spirit. Isn't it fun, the fact that you can create something inside of God? You can create an atmosphere of joy and pleasure inside of God to where he looks down on you and he's like, oh my gosh, I love Joe Psalms. I think he said that at least once. He said that. He loves him. Why? Because the way he lives, and he's radical in his faith, and he believes me, and he's got a big God, and he's bold with this God, and he comes before the throne room with boldness and with confidence, knowing full faith that God is for him and not against him. And he approaches God differently, rather than scared, and I don't really know about this God, and I don't know if he's even good, I'm kind of scared of this God. Radical faith that approaches the throne room. Radical faith on God, we believe that you've planted us in this community, that you want to do something awesome in our city, in our school, that you want to do something awesome in this area. And then we're with faith, we come before you and we're praying for that. And then we live it. It's not just, listen to me, faith is not just a bunch of concepts and ideologies and things that go on in our head. Faith is demonstrating it with a life that is in action. That is the difference. Not just coming in saying, yeah, I have faith in God. Why? Because I believe these scriptures to be true. Because I believe that this is the God. No, it's not just a bunch of theories. It is a lifestyle that walks it out. There's an aggression. There's a confidence and a boldness that comes with it. If you can, flip with me to Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, this is towards the beginning of your Bible. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Okay, so we're right there in the first handful of books of the Bible. Joshua is one who's coming on the heels of one of the biggest faith guys in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 says that Moses was this man that was a mega faith sort of guy. He was the ancients that they're talking about who operated in faith. He made the hall of faith, this guy. He was a legend. And coming on the heels of Moses is this other leader by the name of Joshua. And as Joshua is taking over the people of Israel, Moses, it says that Moses climbs this mountain and God shows him the promised land. As he's looking over the promised land, God says, I want you to see all of the land that's been promised to you and to your descendants. You will not go in and take it because of the disobedience that you had earlier, but I want you to see it because you have led these people by faith, not even knowing that this land existed. But by faith you believed in me, and I want to show it to you. And here's what Moses did. Moses is intentional on pouring into a few guys as far as the leadership team here. And Joshua is the next wave that comes up. So now, here we go, and Joshua is about ready to lead the people into the promised land. And it starts like this, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. After the death of Moses. Isn't it interesting that Joshua gets his own book, but it starts with the previous guy? And in the midst of he gets his own book, it starts with the previous guy and it starts with death. And perhaps there's some situations in your life where you're thinking, man, this thing is just, it's death, it's in the past, it's hard, it's the former, it's whatever. And I want to say, even if that's where we're starting this morning, you're in good hands. Because that's also where Joshua is starting in his book. And we're going to see what happens in his spirit. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all of these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them. to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised to Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon into the great river of the Euphrates and all the Hittite country and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. This is a heavy statement. How many of y'all love the idea of every place my foot will tread, I shall possess, and nobody will ever be able to stand against me all the days of my life? Anybody want that prophecy over you? Just me? Okay, yeah, I want that. No matter what game I go into, I'm winning, and every time I put my foot down, I'm possessing that land. That's the promise that Joshua gets. And now he could say, but what my eyes see is that there's giants in the land. What my eyes see is that there's armies everywhere. What my eyes see, what practically, what wisdom would say is, we probably better play it safe here. And God is saying, I don't want you to play it safe. I want you to believe me. I would encourage this, that trying to make sure that you play it wise and safe could potentially be the most foolish, dangerous thing you ever do in your life. I'll say it like this. Being a missionary to the Sudan, if you're called by God, is the safest place on earth because you are in the will of God. And to live in the comforts of America in disobedience to the Lord is the most dangerous place you could be. Are y'all with me? Does A plus B equals C on that one? Because when you're called by God to do something and you have faith in the call and you're saying, but God, the money doesn't add up and how can we start this business? And God, we don't have the right team. And God, how are you calling me to do this thing? And what, are you sure you want me to invest in this? Or God, are you sure you want me to move here? Or you think I really should take this job? That doesn't make sense, but you know you heard from God. Church family, I want to encourage you to believe big with big faith. That God would open doors that no man can shut, and he can shut doors that no man can open. He can do a supernatural thing, and to start accessing with faith. I truly believe it. Maybe for some of you, you're single out there, and you're thinking, God, where's my future spouse? And you're aching for it, and you want it, and you're like, God, I'm aching for it. And you know what? In wisdom, it would say, you know what? You need to expedite the process, and you need to start doing these things and doing these things and doing these things outside of what God would just maybe have this really cool, just like a great little season of a stride and some patience to it. And we can abort the plan of God by leaning on our own understanding. I say, God, I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to trust you in all of my ways. And you will make my path straight. You will make it awesome. And God, I'm exercising faith in this area of my life that you're good and that you're for me. And one of the things that will hijack our faith is if we don't believe that he's good. Because if he's not good, I don't want to believe in him. I don't want to prop my life up on that God because he may fail me. But I would encourage you, man, if you know that this Lord is good and you know that he is for you, you can bank everything. All the chips are in. I'm all after this thing. Man, my hope is high. I am all after it. Every place that I shall tread, I will possess. No game that I enter, I walk away the loser. I'm going to win every time that I go in there. And we get faithed up in a place like this. If God has told us, then our faith gets high. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, verse 5. As I was with Moses, good night, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua gets the same prophecy that Jesus gives to his disciples after Jesus ascends into heaven. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. In this verse right here, we teach this one to our kids, Joshua 1:8. And they'll say, what's Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do all according to the word. Then you'll be successful. And so we teach this one to our kids. This is like a staple. Joshua 1:8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then you drop down to the very last line of this chapter, verse 18. Only be strong and courageous. I'll tell you this, it's one thing to believe it, and it's another thing to walk it. I wonder if our Christian lives, if they were measured not just by on what ideologies we agree with, but how we actually live our lives, would they say, yeah, you're a Christian? And if I really believed this Bible to be true, if I really believed it to be true, would I actually do all of those things that it calls me to do? Would I give it all? Would I go to the nations and would I, on and on and on. Would I fast? Would I live this fasted lifestyle? If I seek him, will I find him? If I stay in the holy place, will I have encounters with the Lord? Do I really want to have more encounters with the Lord? Are y'all with me? We might agree with this, but do we really, with holy desperation, pursue him that way? And I want to say that there's a huge connection, and maybe there's too much of a disconnection between what I believe and what I do, because faith is action. Because faith without works is dead. It is a dead man's religion. And so you might come in here saying, yeah, I believe all that stuff. That's really nice. And then, but do you live a lifestyle of faith where you deploy, God, I am all in on you. And there's nothing that's holding me back. I'm not checking out of life. I'm not sitting back on my couch. I am engaging because I believe that you're for me and you're not against me. I want to show you some more passages of Scripture where it shows the demonstration of faith, because behavior has to follow mindset. And so we can say that my mind, yeah, I agree, but our behavior has to flow with this, because faith is the substance, not the concepts. Faith is the substance. It's something. There is something there that we're walking out. Just recently, this was just yesterday, 2 days ago, with our family and our big spring break trip was we went to Walmart. We took the kids to Walmart and they all got a toy, and you're welcome. And so they're all picking out a toy. So we're in the toy section of Walmart, and we see this young dad pushing a cart, and he's got super tiny toddler in the little seat facing him, and then another one that's standing up in the cart that's facing out. And they're young. I mean, one's probably, maybe a few months old. The other one's maybe a year or two old. And our hearts, Alyssa and I just look at each other, and our hearts are bleeding for this guy. I mean, he's just a cool-looking guy, super humble, just a pair of jeans, boots, got his flannel shirt on, unbuttoned, his hat just kind of pushed up a little bit. He was just like that old Indiana boy on those Indiana nights, you heard me? He's just comes walking in like that, couple kids with him, and our hearts are aching, and they're just like, I want this, I want this. They go past the Frozen section, and everybody wants, Anna and Elsa and Olaf and all this sort of stuff. And so he's like, okay. And he goes and they get one of the Olaf dolls and one of the Elsa dolls. And I'm just aching because I love fathers. I love young fathers. They're just getting kind of started in the game. And Alyssa and I look at each other, and she is tearing up watching this thing. And it's the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord just hits us in this way where we're aching. And as he kind of pushes on past, she sees underneath the cart, there's a pack and play in there. He's just getting started in this. So as he's moving on, we go ahead and we pick out, the things that we want. And by the time we get to the register, he's standing right there, and we come walking up right behind him. And God always speaks to me in the grocery line, and it's usually buy everybody's groceries is what happens. And so here we are again, and I look back at Alyssa, and she sees me, and she goes, she knows what's about to happen. And I say, hey, man, I loved watching you back there with your kids, just kind of engaging. He had two girls. I loved watching you with your girls back there. I would love to buy these toys for you. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. It's like, no, I really want to. Please, would you let me do it? I just want to invest in you and pour into you. No, it's fine. Hey, I'm serious. I just really feel like God wants me to do this. Okay, well, just the toys, not this pack and play. Nope, I want to do the whole thing, man. You're with us. Hop in here. So he gets these little toys that are $2 a piece. Well, this pack and play is like $55. And I'm like, yep, get it in here. Put this thing in here. And while we're swiping this stuff, he goes, "Who are you?" And he says, if it's not too invasive, he said, "Are you on Facebook? Like, can I connect with you?" So we connect, and I said, "We at our church have a men's group, and I love men, and I love pouring into men." And I said, "This is one of those moments where what you're doing with your kids is absolutely awesome. And by faith, I want to invest into this guy that maybe something's going to happen into his heart." So we're just kind of standing there talking. Get this friend request from this guy, so I hope to connect with him more. And as I'm walking away, I just feel the pleasure of the Lord that says, "Brock, the wise move financially for you is to probably hold your money and save it and invest it and keep it for your kids. But the faith move is to believe that God is more than enough and that he's my provider and that God will sustain me and that if you give, it'll be given back to you more than you'll ever be able to contain. That whenever you give and you release, and when we try to hold on to things, that's a bad move, right? The Bible says if you would lay your life down, that's where you'll truly find it. And so when you give, you'll have way more given back to you, pressed down, shaken together than you'll ever believe or ever be able to contain. And so I just believe the scriptures to be true. So then my lifestyle has to reflect that. And so as we give, and I'll tell you, it's an upside down kingdom. As you give, you receive. When you die is when you truly live, right? It's like, wait, what? If I give, then I get more? Yeah, that's how it works. If I lay my life down, then I'll find my life. Yep, that's how this thing works. And I'll tell you that faith is not always wisdom. Faith supersedes wisdom. It transcends and it goes to another level. And because of this connection, I'm having faith that God's going to do something in this guy's life. I just believe it. And you can say that's silly. You can judge my faith if you want. Go ahead. Judge it. But I'm going to operate in faith that I'm going to make moves on the planet that God's going to bless and God's going to connect and God's going to do things. And so my actions have to align with my faith. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. I'm just going to tell you a quick story. This is the story. There's a prophet by the name of Elijah. A famine comes to the land. There's a huge drought that happens, and Elijah is without food or water. God tells him, go to this other land, and when you're there, you're going to find a widow there who's going to have nothing, and you're going to ask her to give you bread. So Elijah goes, okay, this is what I heard God do, so I'm going to do it. So as he goes, he shows up. There's a woman, a widow, at the city gates, and he says, will you give me a drink? As she's going to draw a drink for Elijah, he says, when you come back, will you also bring me some bread as well? She said, I don't have any bread. She said, actually, I only have a handful of flour back at my house, and I'm going to go home and make some cakes for me and my son so that we can eat it and then die. That's the game plan. And Elijah says, cool story. Can you bring me some bread first, and then we'll see what happens with you? Whoo! Anybody ever been offended by your pastor? It's like, wait a minute, bro. Like, you don't understand. Like, did you hear what I just said? I'm about to die, and you want more from me? Not a cool pastor move right there. That wasn't a seeker-sensitive kind of request from the prophet. And the prophet said, I'm sorry that you're going to die. Feed me first. So she deploys faith in God, and she says, God, I'm believing that this guy is hearing from you. She goes home, makes the cakes, gives it to Elijah. And would you believe that more cake and more cake and more cake and more oil and more flour kept coming to where she could not contain it? I'll tell you, God responds to faith. Many things in life will work out for you really well if you have wisdom. It just will. And unfortunately, we are so smart that we don't need faith. I'm so smart, God. I got it figured out. I got a really good job. I make good money. I've saved. I've invested. I'm really sharp. I got my financial future all figured out. I eat well. My body's good. I don't need healing. I don't need faith really for anything. I'll just keep doing this thing on my own with a lot of wisdom. And I want to encourage you, can we go to another level of saying, God, I want to thank God that I eat well and I've financially, whatever you think that you've done well, but God, there's more. And God, I want to do whatever you have called me for in this community. And maybe it's speaking a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom, and you're like, I'm nervous, but God, I feel this in my belly. And so with faith, I'm going to step out. Hey, I just believe that God wants to tell you this, and I just want to, you know, say something, and you're going to exercise some faith. And I believe that faith is like a muscle, and when you work it out, it'll only get stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's okay to practice with little steps of faith, little mustard seed of faith, but even little mustard seed of faith can say to this mountain, go, and it'll be tossed into the sea. Let's exercise some areas of faith. Believe in God where it doesn't seem like there is any other way. The wise move would have been to keep the bread. But the thing that brings the breakthrough is radical faith and complete obedience. Here's another passage of scripture. It's in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, a few days later, Jesus returned to his home in Capernaum. Jesus is living in Capernaum at this time. And as he comes back home, it says that all the people heard that Jesus is back and they're banging down the doors. And so here, this is Jesus' house. People are coming in. There's so many people in the house that nobody else can fit. Even outside of the house, you can't even get close. I mean, the place is absolutely packed. And as he is speaking and he's teaching, more people want in. And there's a couple guys that have a friend who's lame. And they have him on a mat with ropes. And they're carrying this guy up. And they say, how are we going to get him to Jesus? Because we have faith that Jesus will heal him. And because we have faith that Jesus is going to heal him, we have to demonstrate it through action. It's not just concepts, and we're just not going to sit at home and believe that Jesus is going to touch us. We're going to take him to where Jesus is. And so they climb the house, lifting this guy up on a mat. I don't know if they had a pulley system. I don't know if they just duct taped him to the mat and he's getting dragged up the house. I don't know how it worked. But they get the guy up to the house. It says, then they begin to dig out the roof to where they made an opening. Then they lower the guy through. Imagine somebody's on top of the roof because the church is so packed. Somebody tears a hole in the ceiling and then they lower this body down as Jesus is talking. And they're saying, Jesus, we got to get to you, and we have faith that you can heal this man. And so we're going to have crazy actions and bold, courageous, confident, strong, believing that you can do this, God. I'll tell you, it takes our Christianity to a whole other level than just church attendance and just kind of like, let's be nice and let's sing the song and let's, you know, hand out the bulletins. All of a sudden, it's like, God, what are you doing next? What's the next move that we're going to do? What's the next thing we're going to do with our young people? What's the next program that you're going to start? What's the next business that you're going to create? God, what's the next person that I need to engage in a conversation that you want to drop words of wisdom and insight to? Now, all of a sudden, our Christian experience gets exponentially bigger and funner. It gets gooder. And it gets awesome. Because I'll tell you, if you're bored with Jesus, it's not because Jesus is boring. It's because you've settled into to a Christianity that is not the Bible. Because you read this Bible and it is crazy faith. It's ripping roofs off to get to him. And man, there's a hunger to where they want to see more of God. I want more of Jesus. I want more. Come on, there's more. God, if I give this, I want to see what you're going to do. And God says, test me in this. Come on, let's have some fun. Okay, God, I'm going to give it. I'm going to lay my life down again. What? Now you're giving me this sort of a life? Yep. Come on, baby. Come on, lay it down again. Oh, he's doing it again. Here he comes. Faith is substance. There's something to it. Even though I can't see it, I know that it's real. And God responds. And so this guy, he gets healed. And guess what? There's all the critics and the cynics and the haters standing around, which were the pastors of the day. They were in the synagogue. These were the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're standing around. They said, what? He's going to heal? Doesn't he know that it's the Sabbath? You're not allowed to do work on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, well, what would be easier for me to heal him or to forgive him of his sins? Well, you can't forgive of your sins. That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive of his sins. And he goes, watch, I'll do both. man, your faith has made you well. Rise up and walk. And he says, this feels great. Ah, love it. Picks up his mat, walks away. And Jesus forgives him and heals him and sets him free. Guys, I'll tell you, perhaps you've been locked in for 40 years in just kind of this bummer sort of relationship with Jesus. You're just disappointed in him. He hasn't done enough for you. It's just kind of casual, usual, normal, nominal, predictable, boring relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage you, the fault is not on his end. I want to encourage you, deploy more faith. All the chips are in. Jesus, I'm all in. I'm ripping the roof off for you. I'm giving my last bit of cake for you. I'm doing whatever it takes, believing that this thing is actually going to work. It's actually going to pay off this time. Can I read another passage of scripture? Is it okay to read the Bible in church? Check this one out. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. And they really call this the hall of faith. But I want to read this because it inspired my faith. In chapter 11, verse 29, it says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. They basically just give a history of the scripture of all of faith. But the Egyptians tried to do so, and they were drowned. You ever see somebody that does the exact same thing that you did, and it worked for them and not for you? Because somebody did it with faith, which pleased God. And the other one did it out of their own strength, out of the mighty right arm of the flesh, and you got smacked for it. God said, there's one that I take pleasure in more than the other one. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient, who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice. They gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Verse 36, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Isn't it fascinating that Moses is considered one of the biggest men of faith in the scripture, and he actually never got what he was hoping for, the promised land? And I just wonder if God is more connected to our lifestyles of obedience and faith rather than us just getting the carrot at the end of the stick. I wonder if God is more committed to just playing out the game than just getting the trophy at the end of it. I think he's so committed to obedience and to a lifestyle like that, that he'll bless the journey along the way. Ugh. I'm inspired by this. Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mark 9:23. Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Romans 1:7. For in the gospel of righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be strong and be courageous. Matthew 17:20, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. And I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're going through, But I believe that if you would exercise some faith in God and start having obedience and demonstrating, walking it out, God, I not only believe in my mind, but I'm walking it out with my feet, that God would start engaging and intervening in our life. I believe that faith is like the key that unlocks encounter, and that he is going to invade and hit those moments. And I just want to encourage you, operate with wisdom, but deploy faith like crazy and have radical obedience in our life. God wants to do something in you, in your marriage, in your kids, in our church, in our community. And it happens through faith and feet that walk it out. Amen? Amen. Come on, we want to do this, church. We want to do this. And I want to pray that God would strengthen your faith today. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Let's think, man, what's the faith move? What do I need to do? Do I need to give? Do I need to go up and talk to somebody? Do I need to have a restoration of a relationship? And you know what? I just keep thinking that they're going to turn me down. They're going to cuss me out. They're going to do whatever. But faith, Jesus would say, do it and pray for those that persecute you. Don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. And you're like, oh, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to operate in faith, right? The just will live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And what I see, it just doesn't make sense. But what I'm going to do is going to be a lifestyle of faith. Jesus, we just ask you right now that you would come and encounter us this morning, Jesus, that we would take our Christianity, our game to another level of knowing you and walking this thing out with you to a whole other level. Jesus, I pray those ideas that you've put inside of there that we just haven't jumped on. Lord, I pray that you would just increase our faith, that we would believe that these things can work, that they can pop open, that we can go, that we can do it. Where it seems like there is no way, God, you just part the Red Sea and you do something supernaturally. God, I pray that you would begin to part Red Seas in people's lives. God, I pray that you would put hope where we have lost hope, where we just feel hopeless and helpless. God, that you would fill us with boldness and with confidence. For some of you, maybe there's this idea inside of you, and the Lord would just say to you, Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Come on, now's the time to step up. Now's the time to go to another level. Now's the time to lean strong on Jesus, that he will be the breaker, that he will open up doors, that he will do things, that he will anoint you. Whatever those things are right now, just even just put a yes in your heart to Jesus and just start saying, Jesus, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. I'm going to go to this next thing. I'm going to pursue this next thing that you've called me to. Jesus, I'm going to take this job. I'm going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to invest into this person. I'm going to, whatever those things are, by faith, Jesus, I'm going to start exercising this. Whew, by the power of the Holy Spirit, do this in our life, Lord. And we honor you for it. And we just ask you for great stories of the kingdom invading earth because your people live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.